This is an answer to prayer. And it's interesting to see how all of this has worked out over the years and the way that God has moved to bring this to pass. I rejoice because there's been so much growth and so much development over the years. And to see God bring this to pass. You know, we talk about a birthing. And we would say, well, you know, God birthed this ministry. And we would look at this day as, you know, the grand opening, you know, as an official birthing day. But, you know, in the spirit, this has been alive for a long time.
Yes.
It's just we're seeing it in a tangible way right now. Pastor Mike had asked me to exhort you just for a few moments over an offering. Now, I know that many times when people are in a church service and the word offering comes up, you know, they tend to get a little defensive. It's like, oh boy, what's coming? You know, I just, you know, don't pressure me for money. Well, I want to share something with you briefly here about giving. And it contradicts so much of what is being taught in the body of Christ today. In Exodus chapter 35, what's happened is the nation of Israel has been released from Egypt. And God has established Moses as their leader. And one of the things that God told Moses to do was to build a tabernacle. And he gave Moses instructions for the tabernacle, told him what to do, how to build it, the size, the materials to use, so on and so forth. Well, in Exodus 35, verse 4, Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Now notice the word is commanded. It is a commandment. But take a hard look at this commandment. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. And then continuing on in verse 6, all different types of materials and so forth are identified. But if I were going to put this in language that we might use today, it would be something like this. Here is a commandment from the Lord to His children. Every single one of you, take a hard look at your own life. Take a look at what you have. And you make a decision in your heart what you would like to give out of what you have. And before you do it, be sure that you have a willing heart to give.
Amen.
Well, then if you continue in this chapter, we begin to see how that God, through Moses, had established some men to be like overseers of this whole building project. And if you jump to chapter 36, verse 3, it says, they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. Notice that phrase, free offerings. It says, and all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And so Moses in verse 6 gave commandment that they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary, so the people were restrained from bringing. So here's what we see, to make a long passage and a long story short. God gave an instruction to Moses, and Moses passed it on to the people. It was a commandment. But the commandment was not to bring an offering. The commandment was, take a look at your own life and your own heart, your own desires, your own willingness. What would you like to do? Take a look at what you have of your own possessions, and then you make a decision out of your heart what you would like to do. And in this whole passage, there was not one promise of a blessing. Not one. God never said, if you give in this offering, I will bless your home with bigger chariots and bigger tents. I'll bless you with health. I will bless you with possessions. I will bless you with money if you will give. And if you, especially if you have a need in your home, if you will give, you will be blessed. None of that is in here. There was not one promise of one blessing associated with this offering. Essentially, God was saying, look, here is the project. Here is what I want done. Now, you examine your life. You examine your heart, and you take a hard look at what you have. And out of what you have, you make a decision what you would like to give. And if you don't give anything, there's no condemnation. There's no penalty. There's no curse. God is saying, the commandment is, you just take a look at you. You examine your own life and make a decision what you would like to give for the completion of the work that I have established before my people. Now, what's interesting is that there is a New Testament parallel to this, and it is found over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Very briefly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul is exhorting to the Corinthians concerning offerings. And he makes mention of the Macedonians. And he shares how that there was a period of time in the lives of the Macedonians, which is the Philippian church. The letter of the Philippians to the church identifies this church more clearly. But Paul says, there was a time in the lives of the Macedonians when they were struggling financially. Yet they began to seek God. And through seeking God, he began to bring them out of these struggles. However, they made a decision in their own hearts that they wanted to give in support of what God was doing in this world. And Paul continues in this, and he's encouraging the Corinthians in chapter 8 about their giving. And he says in verse 11, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened." In other words, Paul was saying, here's what God wants. He wants you to examine your own life, examine your own heart, examine your own lives. Take a look at what you have. Then make a decision. Would you like to give? And if you'd like to give, know this, there's no pressure. If you'd like to give, know this, there is no specific amount that you have to give. It is based exclusively on what you have, not on what you don't have. And if maybe you don't want to give, that's okay too. There's no condemnation if you don't want to. Amen. But you examine your heart, your life, take a look at what you have, and then you make a decision. And if you want to give in support of what God wants done, His kingdom purpose here on earth, then you go ahead and you give. Now see, this is a far cry from the way it's presented in the body of Christ today. People are told, well, you know what, if you want to see your healing manifest, well, you better give money. But I have news for you, folks. The price for the healing has already been paid for by Jesus Christ. You cannot buy healing with an offering. And they'll say things like, well, you know what, if you have family members that you want to see saved, this offering today is a salvation offering. And if you want to see them saved, you better sow. So that God can reach your family members with the gospel. Well, I have news for you. The price for the gospel has already been paid. And my money cannot buy salvation for my family members or for my friends. The concept that we see, the type and shadow, the pattern established there in Exodus and repeated as a reality for the body of Christ is the standard that we're supposed to be giving by in the church today. And that is this. God is not going to condemn you if you don't give. God is not going to curse you if you don't give. God is not going to do bad things to you if you don't give. The commandment would be this. Take a look at your own life. Take a look at what you have. Examine your heart. Examine your intentions. And if you do want to be a part If you believe that God is speaking to you to be a part of the work that He wants completed as far as His kingdom will is concerned, then give into the offering. Just give out of what you have, not what you don't have. Not faith pledges based upon you don't have a clue if you can ever meet that pledge. Not run up your credit card so you're deeper and deeper in debt. Not go out and get a loan just so you can give into an offering, but based upon what you're able to give. And some people, the best they could do would maybe be a dollar. And that's it. Other people, they might be able to give thousands. But it's based upon what a person has, not what they have. This offering this morning, it's the first official offering, if you will, for this church, this ministry. And if you believe that God wants you to give this morning, then give in this offering. And as far as the amount is concerned, ask Him. Right now where you are, you can ask Him, Father, what would you like me to do? What would you like me to give into this ministry? Or if you don't believe that you're clearly hearing from the Lord is concerning a specific dollar amount, what would you purpose in your heart to give? What would be your willingness to give? And that's all that's required. And there's no curse, there's no condemnation, you're not buying healing, you're not buying anything from God. All you're doing is joining with this ministry to enable God, through what is given, to accomplish His kingdom purpose for this region and literally beyond. So what I want to do right now is just give you an opportunity. If you're not sure about what to give, then just ask the Lord right now, Father, what would you like me to do? What would you like me to give? What would you like me to put in the offering? Just ask Him now and listen and see what He would tell you. Ushers, would you please stand? If you need an offering envelope, would you please lift your hand? Somebody might say, dear God in heaven, they got a woman up there passing out offering envelope. I don't believe it. What kind of church is this? They let women get involved. Well, if I remember right, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, this is the fulfillment of a prophecy. Your sons and your daughters shall be used of God in these last days. Man, look at this. How could you resist putting, how could you not put money in these baskets over here? Over here, But look at the beauty over here. Now, I want to warn you ladies. Some of these guys out here, instead of an offering, they might put the phone number in there. All right, so... Father, I want to thank You for ministering to us what we are supposed to give in this offering. And I thank You, Father, that out of Your love and mercy there is no pressure. I thank You that we give according to what You lead us to give, based on what we have, not on what we don't have. I thank You for the obedience of everyone here in their giving. And Father, I say that Your word, it is true. And You have promised that You would meet all our need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, Father, I want to thank You for meeting all the need of this ministry, no matter what it would be. Father, I thank You for what is given today. We call it blessed, and may its effectiveness be multiplied many times over. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Okay, ushers, begin to ush. I want to do something special, introduce to you my beautiful wife. We have been married since 1982. That's you almost need a calculator to figure out how many years that is. But Kathy she's definitely helped me to me in the ministry. And I just thank God that I have her. I tell people she's the personality of our relationship. She does the talking, I do the listening. And it works out really well. But I mean that in a good way. I really do. But anyway, Han, why don't you go ahead and share.
It's really, truly a privilege and an honor to be here this morning for this wondrous occasion. I mean, as Jim spoke before, We may be seeing the fruit coming forth now, but this vision's been alive in the Spirit for a long time. And we just count it a great honor to be a part of this setting forth of this work that belongs to God. This is God's work. And you're His laborers, you're the servants to carry it out. And we have the utmost confidence in Pastor Mike and Pastor Donna. We love them dearly. We know that they are people of integrity. And we have utmost confidence in them as they will lead, you know, this flock for the Lord. I don't want to say too much more, but I do want to exhort you with a scripture from Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to kind of jump in the middle here. But Paul is basically saying to the Ephesians, he's been explaining his call to preach the gospel to the Gentile world. And the fact of the mystery of Christ, you know, in you, the hope of glory. And then he goes on to say, and he says, for this cause, and that cause is getting the gospel out, getting the gospel out to the world, the good news that Jesus saves and keeps. Hallelujah. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
Be filled with all the fullness of God and know that love, the breadth and the length and the height, that love that knows no bounds. And I know that the leadership of this church is full of the love of God. I know they are. And I'm just, like I say, I'm just honored to be a part of this today. And we love you guys, and blessings upon this ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you. We have some folks that have driven all the way from Dayton, Ohio to be here for this service, folks that attend our church. So Grace Christian Center people, please stand. As Jem was mentioning earlier, Kathy and I have been coming up here now for several years ministering. I have been a pastor, but from a distance, from a long distance. And it's been challenging. One of the things that I try not to do is impose on people's lives. And so therefore, you know, I could have come up here more often than what I did. And I realized that. And I know that I missed it on that. However, I was so uncomfortable with picking up a phone and calling and saying, okay, well, I'm going to come up and preach. Because they have lives, they have jobs, and all of those things. And even though they told me, hey, it doesn't matter, anytime. Yet I still just felt funny about that. And it was me. It wasn't them. But nevertheless, it's difficult to pastor in that kind of a relationship, that long distance. I did what I could. No doubt I could have done more. But God worked. And during all of that, He has been putting the pieces together for this. Almost like God has been taking the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle and one by one putting it all together so that we could see the entire picture. And the thing is, the picture is not complete. He's still putting everything together. He's still working out the fullness of His desires for not just this church, but for this region. And so I have been the pastor, if you will, of this flock for quite some time. But now God is moving in a way to bring a time of transition and a day of transition, which is where we are right now. And I'd like you to look over in Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. Because what we see here in Numbers 27 is a pattern. Some people would refer to it like a type and a shadow of the way a transition is supposed to take place within a church. And the fact is, God has given to the church, the body of Christ, the pattern for the local church. And that pattern is found in the way God established things for the nation of Israel. And I'll be teaching more about that tomorrow night. But here in Numbers 27, very briefly, what's happened is Moses realizes, God has told Moses, the time of your life here on earth has come to an end. And you're going to be dying. Well, we pick this up in verse 15, and Moses is speaking with the Lord. And it says, Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Now, as I was reading through this and the Lord was sharing with me from this passage, there are some things that are very interesting that took place here, which I guess one way to put it would be completely fly in the face of the way many people perceive the way a church should operate. But this is an example. In fact, in the New Testament, there's even a reference to the nation of Israel and things that happened as examples for us today. Well, here we see in verse 15, Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, that he'll be a shepherd unto them. Now notice that Moses went to God and he asked God to do this. He did not take it upon himself to say, well, I think, God, this person over here would be the right one. Or, God, listen, I'm going to appoint so-and-so to take over for me. Or, God, you know what? I'm going to get the committee together and we're going to select somebody to take over after I'm gone. Now, Moses understood that's not the way that it works. And so Moses went to God and he said, God, in essence, what he was saying is, it doesn't matter that all these years I have led the nation of Israel. It does not matter that I was on the mountaintop with you, that I saw your glory, that your glory rested upon me. It doesn't matter that I heard your voice. It doesn't matter what I personally have experienced with you. The bottom line is, I am not qualified to pick my successor. I am not good enough, smart enough, wise enough to do this on my own. Lord, I need you to do it for me. Who do you want to take over from this point? And the Lord said to Moses in verse 18, I want you to pick Joshua. And he says, In whom is the Spirit? And lay thy hand upon him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before the entire congregation, meaning the entire nation of Israel, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. So here's what's happening. Moses asked God, who should take over from this point? And the Lord says, pick Joshua. Now, what's interesting is that Joshua had been with Moses for years. Joshua had actually gone up the mountain to a certain point with Moses when Moses went up to see God. Joshua was the one that had led in the battle against an army of people that tried to stop Israel. Joshua is listed as Moses' servant, as Moses' minister. And yet Moses did not assume that Joshua would be the person to take over. But God said, I want you to choose Joshua. And then God says something interesting. In whom is the Spirit? This does not mean in whom is the Holy Ghost, or that he is baptized in the Holy Spirit like we understand it today. In essence, what God was saying is Joshua has the same teachable heart, leadable spirit, the same attitude that you have, Moses. Joshua will hear what I say. He will receive from me. He will stay in my presence. He will lead according to what I tell him to do. Joshua is like you, Moses. And he says, in whom is the Spirit? Then he says, to lay thine hand upon him. And this is going to be done before Eleazar the priest and the entire congregation. Now, where it says to lay thine hand upon him, when Moses did this, Moses was not imparting anything to Joshua. You know, a lot of times today we have these impartation services, and people say, the pastors say, I will impart to you such and such. Most all of those services, God is not in it. And you say, well, I was in a service and the guy laid hands on me and he imparted to me the call of pastor. No, he didn't. Because you see, a ministry calling comes from God. It does not come from the hands of a human being. Amen. And you can be in all the services you want, and people can lay hands on you all day long, but unless God releases something into you, it is not released into you. So when Moses was doing this, this was a sign of a transference of leadership, if you will. Because the equipping that Joshua needed to be the next leader was going to come from God. And so when Moses was laying his hand, it was a sign to the people, I endorse this man. But not only that, notice that he was to do this before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation. So symbolically, here's Joshua and Moses and Eleazar in front of all the people. And as they are standing there in front of all the people, Moses begins to give a charge to Joshua. In other words, he's giving him instructions. And we'll see some of these instructions in just a moment. But he begins to give him instructions as far as what he's to do as a leader. And he lays his hands on him as a type of commissioning service. But what's interesting is that with Eleazar there, it was symbolic of the fact that not only does our present leader endorse this man, Joshua, but Eleazar, as a representative of God himself, this symbolically is telling us that God also is giving his approval of this man, Joshua, to be our next leader. And it says here, part of this commission, we see it in verse 21, that he, Joshua, shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who's going to ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim. This is the way that the priest went before God. And that at his word, at whose word? Well, here's how it worked. Eleazar would go before God. God would speak to Eleazar. Then Eleazar would tell Joshua what the Lord had said. Then Joshua would turn around and tell the people the words of the Lord, or the instructions of God. And it says here that at his word shall they go out, at his word shall they come in. At whose word? Not at Joshua's word, but at the word of the Lord given through Eleazar. So let me say it like this. At the word of the Lord given to Joshua through Eleazar, shall they, the congregation, go out, and at his word, the word of the Lord given through Eleazar to Joshua and to the children of Israel, shall they come in, both he, Joshua, and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And the Lord showed me that this is symbolic. There's a tremendous amount of symbolism here, in that Eleazar represents the Holy Spirit. And that the pastor is responsible to get into the presence of the Holy Spirit and stay in fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit to receive from the Holy Spirit the word of the Lord for the direction of the congregation and what is supposed to happen in that church. And then the pastor is supposed to step forward before the congregation and let the congregation know, here is what the Lord has said to me during prayer. And from that point on, the pastor and the congregation are to be, as it says here in Scripture, obedient to what the Lord is instructing to do. Notice what is missing in all of this. There is no committee. There is no council. There is no board of elders. There is no congregational voting, so much of which we see in churches all over the world. Well, we have to make sure the council approves. We have to make sure the board approves. We have to make sure that the elders approve. We have to take this before the church, the trustees. We have to put this before the congregation and vote on it. None of that is scriptural. Now, a lot of people would argue with that, but their arguments would be based upon what they've learned in their church traditions. This is the type and shadow. You say, well, what if the pastor misses it? You know what? That's possible. The pastor can miss it. The pastor can make a mistake. We all understand that. But see, what we're witnessing here is an order that God has established for the church. The shepherd is the under-shepherd to the chief shepherd, which is Jesus Christ. And the responsibility is for us as members of the church to do what the Lord says to do, but we are supposed to be willing to follow the leadership of the shepherd, but the shepherd, the local shepherd, the under shepherd, is supposed to be willing to follow the leadership of the chief shepherd, who is Jesus Christ. Too many pastors take ownership of their church. They are to shepherd, not own. They are to shepherd, not control. They are to shepherd, not dominate. They are to shepherd. And in Psalm 23, we so often look at that, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's true. And it is a reflection of who Jesus is to us. However, Psalm 23 is also a reflection of how the local pastor is to interact with the people of that church. And so we see right here that Moses, he says he did what the Lord told him to do. He laid his hands on Joshua in front of the congregation. And essentially he was saying, Joshua, the Lord is going to use you when I pass on. And you are going to be the one to lead the people. Now all the people were out there and they were listening to this. And from that time on, not only did God expect that Joshua would be obedient to the charge, but the expectation was that the people would also be obedient to this charge. That they would obey the word of the Lord. Personalities are different. We're always going to have, you know, you see it your way, I see it my way. I like, you like seafood, I like steak. I mean, we're all different. We all have different perspectives. But the bottom line is, are we going to be willing to come into scriptural submission to the leadership that God has established? Knowing full well there could be times where I don't really understand. You know, Joshua, if it was left up to me, we'd be going this direction. And Joshua says, well, folks, but the Lord is saying we're supposed to go this direction. And so therefore they had a responsibility to be obedient to the way the Lord was leading through Joshua. The same thing is true for this particular church. This is a transition. And God has raised up another man to take it from this point and go forward. Because you see, there was one thing that's not recorded in this chapter we just read, but it's revealed through Scripture, and that is this. Joshua took the people where Moses could not. And from this point forward in this church, to use the terminology we see in Scripture, Joshua symbolized by Pastor Mike, is going to take this congregation where I never could. And it's going to be wonderful. And it's going to be a promised land for this congregation. There are blessings. There are moves of God that are waiting, that God has already set in order for this church. And now it's a matter of following the leadership of God into the place of those blessings, into the place of that anointing, into the place of His glory moving, into the place of the healings and the salvations and the people being set free. Pastor Mike is going to take you where I never could. And praise God for it. Hallelujah. So Pastor Mike and Donna, if you would please stand. And we're going to do something a little bit different. I had not even thought of doing this until this morning as I was praying about this service. Pastor Mike and Donna, what I'd like you to do is stand right here. All the people in this room who believe that this is to be your home church, I want you to all come and stand right here, please. Stand right over here. If I'd have had more time to prepare for this, what we're getting ready to do, I would have put a lot more into it. But when God shows you something about 15 minutes before you're ready to walk out the door, it's like, I don't have time to write all this down. So, Lord, I'm trusting you. Now, over time, more people are going to come and be a part of this church. And I realize a lot of you are here for this special event. We know that. But this is something that the Lord shared. What we're getting ready to do is something that it may never have been done in any church anywhere ever. So you might be witnessing history. Hallelujah. But this is what I saw. Pastor Mike, I'd like you and Donna to stand just right there. And just look at me. Now, you've heard this charge that God, through Moses, gave to Joshua. To be short and simple, it's this. You are to stay in the presence of the Holy Spirit, to seek Him. And yes, Scripture is true. There is wisdom when you receive godly counsel from people of godly wisdom. But ultimately, the decisions you make must come from the leadership of the Holy Spirit, both you and Donna. And this is going to be a great challenge. In fact, the Lord shared with me that within the next 30 days, some kind of a challenge is going to come up. He didn't say it was going to be a horrible, He didn't specify, just within 30 days, it may be a very simple thing. You know, what copier do we buy? I mean, I don't know. But nevertheless, you are to stay in the presence of the Holy Spirit because He is going to reveal to you the direction that He wants you to go with this church, what He wants you to do, His will for this church. And Donna, the moment that you stood at the altar and you said, I do, to marry this man, you may not have known it then, but you were saying, I do marry you to be your helpmeet, not just as a wife, but as a pastor's wife as well. Who knew back then, right? Who had any idea?
He kept it a secret.
God, sometimes it's good God keeps things a secret. But that's what was happening. And now here you are today. You're serving together. And you are a helpmeet to Him in ministry. You absolutely, and I know that just by what I know of your history and your lives in serving. And so therefore, Pastor Mike, you have heard the instruction of the Lord. There's so much more that could be added to this. However, I want to ask you right now before these people, do you truly believe that God has called you to this city to be the pastor of this church? Donna, do you believe that God has called you to stand with Him as His helpmeet, as the pastor of this church?
I do.
Now, congregation, you have heard the instruction of the Lord. And the instruction of the Lord is for your pastor to seek the Holy Spirit, not you. Now, what this means is, over the years, you've had a lot of ideas of what you think ought to be done here. You may be wrong. Or you may be right. I don't know. And it's not wrong to have great dreams. It's not wrong to have wonderful ideas about this is what we'd like to see God do here in our city, in our region. That is not wrong at all. But the key is you have to be willing to come into submission to what God is doing by the power of the Holy Spirit through your shepherd. And there may be times that he might say, this is what the Lord has told me, this is what we are to do. And you might be thinking, but that's not what we've been thinking about for the last 10 years. The challenge at that point is, will you submit to that leadership? Even if you don't fully understand, it's trusting that he is hearing from God. Now, the one thing I can testify is that I do know this couple will hear from God. I know that. So I can tell you, I would trust what they say, and I would encourage you to do the same. And you see how that in Scripture, the congregation was to be obedient to the word of the Lord. This means your commitment is not simply to this church or to Mike as your pastor, to this couple for leadership. Your commitment is to God. This means that you simply don't have the freedom to choose to do whatever it is you think you want to do. There's an expectation that God has of you to be here for services. Yes, there can be extenuating circumstances. We know that from what has happened to Amanda here the last few days. That's understandable. Yes, there are going to be times when you will take holiday. That is understandable. But for God to do what he needs to do, he needs every one of you, no matter how old, no matter how young, to be fully committed to the vision that God is going to birth through this ministry for this region. This is a big commitment for you. And not only is it your time, your prayers, but also God will expect you to financially support this ministry according to what you have, not what you don't have, as he leads you in your giving. Now, every one of you, do you believe that God has called you to be a part of Harmony Prayer Center? Do you believe this? You can say yes. I don't know. Do you believe that God has sent Mike and Donna O'Brien to be leaders to you in this church to take you from where you are now and lead you into the place where God desires? Do you believe this?
Yes.
Pastor Mike, they've made a commitment to you. Congregation, they have made a commitment to you. Now, repeat after me. I, Mike or Donna,
receive you
to be the flock that we will shepherd.
To be the flock that we will shepherd.
We commit unto you.
We commit unto you.
We will seek God first.
We will seek God first.
Above everything else.
Above everything else.
We will lead you.
We will lead you.
As the Holy Spirit leads us.
As the Holy Spirit leads us.
And we promise to you.
And we promise to you.
Before God and these witnesses.
Before God and these witnesses.
That we will seek only to do the will of the Father.
That we will seek only to do the will of the Father.
Congregation, repeat this after me. Pastor Mike and Donna, we receive you as our spiritual leaders. We receive you, Pastor Mike, as our under shepherd to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. We will pray for you. We will be with you, even when our emotions say otherwise. We will support you with our prayers. We will give as the Lord leads us to give financially. We will attend services. We will not assume we have the freedom to do whatever we want. We will seek you. to help us as we go forward into God. We receive you this day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I officially recognize you as pastor and congregation of Harmony Prayer Center in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada. Pastor Gary, and Kathy, if you would come up, please. Now, Pastor Mike and Donna, if you would just stand right here in front of me and congregation, Gary and Kathy are going to stand next to me. And congregation, you just get all behind them. What God has put together. Let no man or devil divide.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, you two would just join with me and just lay hands here. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have been working so hard to bring this to pass. Father, you have heard the commitments that have been made by Mike and Donna and by this congregation. Father, we lift them all up to you and we say, may your will be done every moment of every day in this ministry and in their personal private lives. Father, we say, may the glory of God rise in this place. May you confirm your word with signs following. Father, may the joy of the Lord be a strength to all of these people. Father, may the word spread forth that the life of God lives in this place. That truth is alive in this place. Father, may Mike and Donna's youth be renewed like the eagles.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
May physical, mental, and spiritual strength increase in them.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, May every financial and material thing necessary flow into this ministry unhindered. And Father, I want to thank you for the way that you are working this mighty work, this union that has been established here in this place today.
Thank you.
Father, from this day forward, may there be increase. And I say that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. That anybody who speaks against this ministry, it won't have any effect.
Yes.
That, Father, they will continue to press on into your will.
Yes.
And I give you the praise for this, Father, and I thank you for all of this being done. And, Gary, is there anything that you would like to add? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for all of this. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, one thing to keep in mind. You remember the story in what we read here in Scripture about how Moses did this with Joshua because Moses knew he was going to die. Okay, well, I don't plan on dying here anytime soon. I plan on hanging around.
Amen.
So anyway, would you all just turn around and face the folks out here? Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce to you the pastor and congregation of Harmony Prayer Center in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada.